Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua on the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, live with Acelia, Celiah, Ataria, and Zariah, Thursdays at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time.
So tell him what you need and tell the Father everything you need for better serve him. Make him know the areas where you're strong and where you're weak. And I'll let him know you will always seek him. Yeah. Tell him you appreciate the things that he has done for you. Make him know you understand all the things he put you through. The good, the bad, the up, the down, the blessings and the curses too. Cause in the end it's making for a better you. So tell him about it.
Tell ya. Yeah.
The Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua is the women's ministry of Israelite Heritage, brought to you by the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, hosted through blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, Shalom family, and welcome back to BHYY Radio. Welcome back, welcome back. I'm your host, Cecilia Yisrael, along with the ladies on the panel. Shalom, ladies. How y'all doing tonight?
Shalom, shalom, ladies. This is Zariah. I'm blessed. I pray everybody's having a blessed evening.
Hey, shalom, family. It's Celia. I'm doing well. How is everybody doing?
I'm doing well as well. And we pray that everyone listening is doing fine. Don't forget, this is a live call-in show. So that guest call-in number is 319-527-6302. We want to welcome everyone listening in on the phone lines, everyone listening in the chat room, and everyone who will be listening later on in the archives. As always, we welcome you, and we thank you for supporting BHYY Radio. Now, tonight's topic of discussion is battling mental health. Last week, for those of you who tuned in, we spoke briefly about mental illnesses among Black women, and in particular, the increasing number of women diagnosed as bipolar and schizophrenic. We shared insight into our own family members with schizophrenia and how they did not start out this way. And so the question posed was, how is it then that they grow up to have a mental disorder when it did not exist? Tonight, we are continuing this most sensitive and pressing topic with the conclusion of battling mental illness. Now, just for those of you who didn't get a chance to tune in last week, African Americans are 20 to 25% more likely to report having serious psychological distress than non-Hispanics, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Minority Services. Yet, young adult African Americans, especially those, now this was interesting, especially those with higher levels of education, are less likely to seek mental health services than their white counterparts, according to a study that was published by the American Psychological Association. So not only does the statistics and the data support the rise in mental illnesses among, I say rise because it is rising. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's been an overwhelming number of suicides in the Black community. But not to move ahead of ourselves, not only does the data support the rise in mental illness among Blacks, but we can just, like I said, we can take a look at the news or just our surroundings and just our communities in general and see that there's an astonishing increase in mental disorders, many of them resulting, like I said, in suicides, both before last week's show, which was on the 19th, and after last week's show. We had two Black women who died as a result of a suicide. Jordan Hankins, who played for the women's basketball team, she was found dead in her apartment. I believe that's the 10th, January 10th, 2017. And then about 2 days ago, just 2 days ago, another young woman committed suicide, a young Black woman, Nakia Event, who broadcasted this on Facebook Live, and she hung herself. So that's another interesting a correlation between these suicides, is that many of them are done by way of hanging. The woman, Jordan Hankins, she also, according to the Courtney Chatterton Cook County Medical Examiner's Office autopsy results, she also hung herself. So those are some interesting facts there out on the table, is that not only does mental illness exist within the community, but many are committing suicide and doing it by way of hanging. So that's something to explore as well. Now, these were young women. The first woman was 19, and the last one was 14. So clearly psychological issues exist and are being experienced by women every day. However, the sad reality is that mental illnesses are not discussed openly, or at least not until something drastic like a suicide or attempted suicide happens. So, ladies, the question tonight is, where is this coming from, and how do we create an environment where people feel comfortable talking about it? So, ladies, I know y'all got a mouthful of information for us. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. Again, don't forget, family, just joining us, this is a live calling show. That guest calling number is 319-527-6302.
One of the things that I was listening to that you said was powerful is that most people don't seek help for any type of mental uncomfortability they may be having. because it's such a stigma that comes along with going to see a psychiatrist. You automatically think you're crazy. Or sometimes, you know, we go through so much till we might think that some of the ways we act and some of our moods and things of that nature are just naturally the way we are, you know, which makes me want to jump right into the bipolar disorder. You know, for those who don't know, bipolar disorder is a disorder associated with episodes of mood swings ranging from depressive lows to manic highs. Bipolar is a mood disorder that affects millions of people from all walks of life. The most common symptom associated with bipolar disorder is mood swings. Individuals who are bipolar will experience heightened euphoria and happiness, followed by drastic depression and guilt. While mood swings are the most common symptom, they are not the only symptom. So I also have here 13 symptoms for bipolar disorder. And the first one and the most common is the mood swings. You know, one minute you're happy, the next minute you're upset. Or, you know, one minute you're crying, the next minute you're depressed. Also, the manic episodes, feeling having moments of euphoria where you kind of like feeling kind of high, like, you know, rapid speech. A good indication that someone is experiencing a manic episode is rapid speech. Speak quick, but rarely able to follow a train of thought to its logical conclusion. Racing thoughts are common manic bipolar symptoms. Individuals will often have a difficult time focusing on one thing while tending to overanalyze their thoughts. Irritation. Sufferers are easily irritated by situations they normally wouldn't be agitated with. Increased physical activity. When a person is experiencing a manic episode, they will often have extremely high levels of energy, which means you might be running around for a day, cleaning up, just doing all kind of things you normally wouldn't do to an extreme extent. Careless use of drugs and alcohol. Because for us, a lot of times we like to self-diagnose ourselves. You know, if we're experiencing something mentally or if we're experiencing a mood swing, you know, the first thing we'll turn to is a drug to even us out, or alcohol to bring us down a little bit. You know, also, when you have manic episodes, you have decreased need for sleep. You're up more than you would usually be up. You know, miss work due to inability to maintain a schedule. And then when you have them lows, you're like fatigued, tired all the time. You know, chronic pain with no cause, sadness, helplessness, and suicidal thoughts. And what I found interesting is I looked up a list of celebrities with this bipolar disorder, and it's so funny how this thing could be masked, and you don't really know it's there. You know, one of them was Chris Brown, Macy Gray, Jennifer Lewis, Jesse Jackson Jr., Mel Gibson, Lark Voorhees, Don Claude Van Damme. So these are people that live with this disorder and apparently getting medication for it because it evens them out. They don't have those serious, you know, and I've seen a couple of these people in the news, Chris Brown, for example, to where, like I said, we it's such a stigma that comes along with seeing a psychiatrist or having to take medication on a regular basis for any type of mental issue. Sometimes we shy away from that. And when you have an issue such as this, it has to be controlled. You have to be on something so that it can even you out, so you don't have those crazy episodes where you're fighting and erratic, and then when you're, like, really depressed, it don't want to be bothered. No. One of the things that I found that was interesting, EC, kind of in line with what you were saying, is in 1973, a series of studies in the archives of general psychiatry discovered that African-American patients were significantly more likely than white patients to receive the diagnosis of schizophrenia and significantly less likely than white patients to receive a diagnosis for other mental illnesses such as depression. And to me that was heavy because that goes back to what I was saying last week, where a lot of people are getting misdiagnosed. Another thing is July 31st, 2012, it was stated black people are overdiagnosed with schizophrenia, frequently misunderstood, by their psychiatrist and largely disenfranchised, said William B. Lawson, MD, PhD professor and chair of psychiatry at Howard University College of Medicine in Washington, D.C. So it's true that you do go, if you do take the chance of going to a psychiatrist, you're misunderstood by the language that you use, by the words that you say. Next thing you know, they're diagnosing you with schizophrenia or bipolarism, and you don't even have it. You know, so it's all about paying attention to your mental capacity, paying attention to what's going on in your mind, taking care of your mind.
Right, exactly. And this is why this show is definitely so fruitful and such a blessing to everyone who has the opportunity to hear, because it's definitely a call to our community, you know, the so-called Black community. And, you know, this does include, you know, Hispanics as well, because, of course, we all come from the same heritage. You know, if we do our research, a lot of us are closely connected with our genealogies. It's very important that we're talking about this because we need to bring awareness to our communities. You know, we were talking about trauma last week and how trauma plays such a determining factor, you know, that can lead up to these mental illnesses. Definitely, you know, slavery as a people, you know, with all of the abuse that we endured in, you know, generation after generation, of course, there had to be some sort of way that we coped with this particular trauma. And we coped with the trauma and the aftermath through silence. So, you know, that silence has basically, you know, been carried amongst generation after generation. And I'm pretty sure everyone can relate and say that we at least have one family member that we just call crazy. You know what I'm saying? Let's just keep it real. You know, Auntie crazy, Uncle crazy, you know, she crazy.
Yeah.
And this one particular family member, we have pretty much isolated them. They are under care of certain family members and they never seek treatment because, of course, it's just not, you know, it's not available, it's not promoted. But it goes back to both, you know, to what both of you ladies were saying as far as bringing that awareness. You know, we have to be in tune with how we are dealing in our lives. You know, we have to pay close attention to our reactions. And definitely, you know, I'm glad you brought up those symptoms, Zariah, because those are symptoms that affect your daily life. You know, that's key here because, of course, we all know we all have a sad day. You may become fatigued. You know, you may want to eat a lot. You may want to sleep a lot just because you're having a bad day. However, when you are experiencing these symptoms so frequently that they're getting in the way of your daily life, meaning you can't get out of bed, you know, 8 to 10 days a month, or you know, you've quit your job or you've ended your marriage or, you know, your children are afraid to speak to you and everyone is so, you know, scared to come around you. This is when we need to bring it up. That's why it's so important that we focus on communicating. You know, we have to foster the type of relationship with one another where we can be able to talk, where we can let each other in so that person can help us. So you can say, you know what, sis, I realize that every time it kind of comes to this situation, you know what I'm saying, you be extremely high, then you be extremely low. And I notice that you have a lot of headaches. You know, I notice that you're very irritable. Like, what's really going on? Have you seen the doctor? It could be something, you know, physiological going on. We have to promote that communication. We can't hold things in from each other.
That's so powerful, what you're saying. And it falls in line with everything we've been doing. It takes me back to the effect of being indoctrinated with the feeble-minded syndrome, you know, especially in dealing with our elders. For instance, my grandmother's sisters and brothers or their aunts and uncles, you know, already they're thinking that if something's wrong with a person, the first thing they would say is, oh, he's just a little slow or she's just a little slow. Instead of taking the time, you know, because you're already indoctrinated with the fact that you think you're slow anyway. you know, because this is what the people been telling us all our life, that we're slow, you know, and instead of taking that time to take your loved one to a doctor to find out what's really wrong with them, we a lot of times, African-Americans, the so-called African-Americans are famous for sweeping things under the rug within the family, you know, within the family. And we'll always just chalk something up as being crazy or being normal instead of getting to the root of the problem and understanding that it can be some help.
Right. Absolutely. That's so true. You know, that what you just said, Zariah, reminds me of what you were saying, Salaya, when you first started off. And I think that was you, one of you, about, you know, oh, well, that auntie's crazy or that uncle's crazy or, you know, and we laugh it off. But really, nobody takes the time to be like, okay, well, y'all laughing about it, but there could seriously be something wrong. And this isn't to say that the solution is being medicated or that you know, clinical help is like the one solution or anything like that. No, but there could seriously be something wrong. And we sitting there laughing it out, uncle crazy. Mm-hmm. He always do this and that. But it's like, seriously, like, you know, and I love that communication part that you talked about, Salaya, particularly the questions that you started with, you know, like, I've noticed that such and such. Like, that was beautiful. Like, if we could get to that point of foster communication like that, I think that it would really help. And that requires us to pay attention to each other. And that requires us to know one another. You know, you can't notice you can't notice a difference in someone's behavior if you don't know what their normal behavior is like, you know, because you don't talk to them, you don't talk to them, you don't communicate with them. So just taking the example that we've been taking throughout the show so far about maybe somebody is sleeping too much, maybe somebody's not as vocal, maybe somebody is a little, you know, just sad all the time. You don't really know if this is normal or not, you know. And so with this, us just talking about the mental disorders and illnesses that we know are present, that just made me think about that even more. And I think understanding is important too when we're talking about this subject, because let's say your sister got all the symptoms and you guys have basically, you know, you went with her to the clinic, you found out, like, okay, this is basically what it is. And when I say understanding, I mean a sympathetic awareness of not just the feelings of others, but also their perspective as well. You know, someone suffering, again, talking about, oh, the crazy auntie, the crazy uncle, y'all laughing, but that just hurt them on the inside that y'all said that, because they know in themselves that there's something really that's not wrong. So someone suffering from any mental disorder, they may feel not just ashamed or embarrassed about it, but also hopeless, you know. And the world, without us getting too deep, the world is hard anyway on the everyday strong person, you know. And so for someone who is not as mentally strong, it's not as simple as, you know, maybe you want to tell them to go pray about it, or maybe you want to tell them to rebuke the demons, but see, you got to put yourself where they are. That's easier said than done, because first they have to be able to come to terms first with demonic activity and also discern which is ruling them. It's steps to it, basically. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, to those listening, prayer changes things, but to pray also requires a kind of mental clarity and strength to begin with. To have the energy to believe requires energy, and that's energy that not everyone has. So before getting to that point, we have to make sure that we are more understanding to someone who we may find have these mental disorders, and not, because a lot of, they may see it as cast them off, or they just say pray about it. They ain't, you know, they ain't give me no practical advice, they ain't give me no actionable steps, they ain't give me, you know, maybe you can eat this every day, maybe you can exercise for 20 minutes. I ain't say nothing. They just say, you know, so we don't want to end up like that, you know, because we know firsthand that the church has not worked for us. So we don't want to get like that. You know, this person needs to be built up to this, and in order for it, and they need to have an understanding that there is hope. You know, that despite mm-hmm. what the world is, life is still necessary to live, and not just to live, but to do so with quality and excellence and all of these things. You know, they got to know. And that's basically what it boils down to, is like people feel like ain't no hope. I mean, they look out, and we underestimate this as everyday people. We underestimate that you turn on the news every day, or you flip through the newspaper, or people don't really do newspapers no more. You turn on the internet, this person got shot up, this person got killed, this person hung themselves. You go outside, you see this crackhead, this addict, this, you see this violence. Like, we underestimate what that does to our psyche. And for some people, mm-hmm. they just can't handle
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That's right. Right. I really like how you brought that up. That was a good point as far as you know, being sympathetic, and a part of that sympathy goes back to what you were saying, EC, about really putting yourself into their shoes and seeing it from their eyes. You know, that's what true love is. True love is being able to, you know, not come down to someone's level, but caring about the person enough to really understand where they're coming from. You know, just communication with someone, just with talking to a person long enough, by having regular periodic conversations with them, you know, that constant ongoing communication, it can reveal a lot about a person. Because as you get to know someone, you know, like you said, how can you identify if you really don't know who they are? But I think that's so beautiful the way you put that, as far as that level of sympathy. And it's going to take for you to really kind of put yourself out there and be selfless, you know, just to see where somebody's really coming from, because they may not realize it. And it's going to take your strength to basically build them up.
Mm-hmm. What both of you said is very powerful. And I know one of the things is, in my situation as dealing with my cousin, is a lot of times if you're the parent of this person, it's a wide range of denial going on, you know, because nobody wants to look at their child as being mentally ill, you know. So it's the denial first, because, you know, like I said, and like you said, EC, you never know how much your mind can take, you know, especially in a situation where you're feeding yourself all these chemicals, drugs, and alcohol. You just never know, you know, you just never know. And it takes some dedication to help a person in this situation, especially when they feel like they don't know what's going on. It can be very hard for them.
Right.
I want to hit that schizophrenia piece up. Yeah. Because it's heavy.
Yeah, definitely. You know what? Yeah. I'm listening to y'all, and I'm so, and you know, just immersed. I didn't even think about a break till you said it. Honestly, like, I'm being honest with you. Like, it's like, since we come back from that break, like, that was y'all all day. So I'm looking like, that was break. Okay, we got a break coming up. So, but yeah, definitely. We definitely going to talk about that schizophrenia. And right before we go to break, what you said was deep about that denial, and also about with the parents and the children. And what it made me think about is the educational system. And the reason why it made me think about the educational system, because we was talking about earlier how Black families tend to sweep stuff under the rug, and you just say somebody's slow. Okay, what does it mean that they're slow? Like, you just throw it out
exactly.
there, blanket statement, that's supposed to be out, go get him a check, that's it. But what's so deep about everything is the whole creation of the special ed branch of the educational system. It started in the 60s, where you had the, you know, segregation, and the a lot of the parents of the white students who weren't doing very well. This was during a time where they were saying that, well, they kind of still saying it, but basically environment influences behavior or whatever. So they were saying that, you know, rich white kids and affluent neighborhoods and nice houses or whatever are going to do better in school than poor black kids in the ghettos would have you. But what was happening was that these children, these white kids, were not doing good. They were failing because, as we know, it's not about that. It's about the school system in general, the white, black, Chinese, whatever. So the white kids were failing, and the parents were willing to – they were such in denial about the children not doing well academically or intelligently that they were willing to admit that the children had a learning disability before they were willing to accept that the school system itself is flawed. And so all of these, you know, Gentile, you know, white groups or whatever, they got together with the scientists or the eugenics people anyway, who already thought blacks were animals pretty much, and got into these groups, and they developed this thing called special education where their children had learning disabilities. And so now that we are, as we know, within our community, we largely model ourselves after other nations of people, which we are clearly not supposed to do. And so now we are doing a similar thing to where we don't want to admit that there is something mentally wrong, so we just throw the blanket thing out there and say they LD. That's short for learning disability. So we're starting to repeat the same thing, being in the same kind of denial. If they exhibit traits of having some kind of mental instability, because we got to understand that the brain is very sensitive, and anything, any small damage of the brain can do wonders, you know. And so any burst that we may give where, you know, maybe the baby had a hard time coming out, like anything that's got to do with this head is going to be a big deal later on. So
that's right.
Our children show signs of mental instability, and the first thing we do is the same thing. Oh, they LD, oh, they slow. Just go ahead and get them a check, blah, blah, blah. But then as a result, these kids got to grow up, and then you have all of these adults walking around with legitimate mental issues, and they are affecting the society in some kind of way. And so, but we got to go on a break. So let's hold that thought. Let's go on a break. And this is the BHYY Radio Show, hosted through blogtalkradio.com. We're talking about battling mental illnesses. This is Throwback Thursday, so we're going to go ahead and throw it back with I Didn't Know My Own Strength by Whitney Houston. We'll be back after this.
With my soul, I had nowhere to turn, I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream, thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down, and I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength, survived my darkest hour. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, pulled my head up high. I was not built to break. Didn't know my own strength. Oh. Found hope in my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh,
not built a brain. No, no, I got to know my own strength.
You're listening to the Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua on the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, live with Acelia, Celia, Ataria, and Zariah, Thursdays at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time.
And welcome back to the Blessed Handmaids of Yah Yahoshua Radio Show, hosted through blogtalkradio.com on the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, coming to you weekly every Thursday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. So as you are making your commute from work or to work or going to pick up the kids, whatever you're doing, we hope that you're listening to us as you are cruising and that we can provide that peaceful, relaxing atmosphere for the rest of your day as you near the weekend. You know how we is with the weekend. You almost there, people. You almost there. It's Thursday. It's what they say. It's Friday, Junior, okay? So you almost there. All right. And, again, that was that throwback, I Didn't Know My Own Strength by Whitney Houston. And what a beautiful song. Those lyrics is really touching. Like, it's, you know, I fell down and I tumbled, but I did not crumble like that. Mm-hmm. I like it. Okay. So don't forget that, you know, we have shows like this and we have very sensitive topics. And if you are experiencing anything that could that you can share on any of our topics, don't forget to send in your Dear Sister letters. Okay, so write us at blessed_handmaidens@yahoo.com. And what we'll do for you is we'll read the Dear Sister letter on the show anonymously, always anonymous. We don't mention any names or email addresses or anything. And we offer our feedback based on the letter. So if you have questions, comments, concerns, if you have testimonies, and maybe you don't want to call in, we'll read it on the show and we'll allow our listeners to give their feedback as well. So again, blessed_handmaidens@yahoo.com. Mm. To get back into tonight's topic, we were going to talk about schizophrenia. For those of you just joining us, we are continuing our conversation from last week on battling mental illness. Last week was the introduction, short 30-minute show. You can go back and listen to it on your own time, but we spoke briefly about mental illness among Black women and just the Black community in general, and the increasing number of women diagnosed with bipolar and schizophrenic. And before the show, we were just talking about the importance of understanding and being sympathetically aware and talking about these things, getting to know each other so that we can recognize the changes in each other's behavior and so that there can be more openness about this, particularly in the Black community, since there is still a stigma that's tied to these things. You know, ladies, I was thinking, you know, if people are still ashamed, and we've all been in public, you know, public or private schools to where you don't want to be in a special ed class, that was shameful. You was embarrassed about that. You know, you don't want to be labeled LD. And if that's deep. If we can't feel a sort of openness about just being what they call slow, just learning slowly, then how can we ever get to more serious issues such as our topics tonight? I mean, how can somebody stand up and say, you know what, I do have a mental disorder, if we can't, if something like learning disability is still taboo? So that's another thing we're talking about tonight, is just being more open about it, destroying the tabooness or the tabooness, that's not a word, but the stigmas that are attached to it, so that we could have more solutions and more healing involved in the community.
Well, you know, that goes in line with you saying with having, you know, other people in your life paying attention to you. Because how do you know if you're acting irrational, if you're acting different from normal? You understand what I'm saying? So this tastes like an effort from our loved one. You know, and I was laughing with a break because I just wanted to clear something up. You know, as parents, a lot of times, like, I was laughing as you said, you know, you take them down there to get that check. But we're not talking about getting help for your child because he's running around and he can't sit still, you know, because they'll hit your child up with that ADHD in a minute and have you medicated him because he's normally being active as a child. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about this schizophrenia thing is very serious. Serious to the point where, like we were saying earlier, a lot of times when we see our family members doing things and we sweep it under the rug that we know is, like, abnormal, you know, and we don't get this personal help, it can lead to serious things. It can lead to this person harming you, killing themselves, because this is a very serious mental illness. So right now I'm just going to go over 10 symptoms of this. And one of the big major ones is the hallucination. Patients might hear, they might see, smell, or feel things. You know, and a lot of times we can tell if you're around somebody who's hearing things, you can kind of tell in the way they're moving, you know, their actions. Delusions, false beliefs that are not based in reality. They will be convinced that they are being harmed or harassed. Disorganized thinking and speech. Problems, trouble concentrating and maintaining a train of thought. Disorganized behavior, causing impairments in a person's ability to take care of oneself. So when you have somebody in your life and you know they're usually neat and clean every day, and then you see them one day, their face ain't washed, their clothes is wrinkled, you know, that might be something you might need to pull them to the side. Are you okay? You know? Mm-hmm. Ideas of reference, seeing special meanings in ordinary day-to-day events and feeling as though the things that they see are especially connected to them is a common symptom, you know. And here's another one, paranoia. This is one of the most well-known features of schizophrenia. Somebody else maybe always think that somebody's following them or things of that nature. That paranoia is one of the biggest symptoms of schizophrenia. You know, empathy. Show a lack of interest in activities they previously enjoyed. Social withdrawal. Spend a lot of time alone. You know, changes in your body clock. Awake and active during the night and then becoming sleepy in the day hours. You know, lack of emotional expression. Sometimes when you're dealing with somebody who's mentally ill, you know, you can, a lot of times they just bear out into space. They have no expression on their face and they're just there. You know, and we have to pay attention to these things, especially dealing with our loved ones, dealing with people that we're in contact with. You know, last but not least, I want to this is a guy that was a professional football player, so-called African-American, Lionel Aldridge. He was a professional football player from 1941. He was born 1941. He died in 1998. 11-year career in the NFL playing for the Green Bay Packers and San Diego Chargers. Excuse me, tongue tied. And he was diagnosed with schizophrenia at age 33. So you see, this is another example of this wasn't something that he was born with. He was functioning all of this time, and then at 33, he was diagnosed with it.
Right, definitely. I think that's great. I really like how you are bringing forth those symptoms and, you know, the symptoms of schizophrenia and bipolarism and many of these other mental illnesses, as we can all see, they run parallel and they are quite a mirror image to the next illness. And, you know, what's most important to know about these symptoms is just like how Zariah was breaking it down as she went, you know, from symptom to symptom. These are things that are affecting your lifestyle. You know, if it's affecting your life, everything that she went over, you know, those are things that affect how you live, about how you deal, how you communicate, you know, how you move forward with certain areas of your life. It's all encompassing. So that's why it's so important, like we were saying, definitely as a family, as a community unit, that we foster this communication. I know there's one celebrity,
And she's come up recently because she's starring as a mother in the 3-part series of New Edition for everybody who's watching it on BET. Her name is Lisa Nicole Carson, and she was an actress. She used to play on Ally McBeal back in the day in like the early 90s. Very, very beautiful, beautiful black woman. And she was a supporting star on Ally McBeal. She played alongside, I think her name was Calista Flockhart. But anyhow, you know, she was diagnosed with bipolarism. And guess how she found out? It was actually someone on the set of the cast when they were filming the episodes. Someone pulled her to the side, someone who was working on the cast, and said, "Hey, listen, I noticed that you go from extreme highs to extreme lows. Do you have anyone personal in your life that you can talk to?" And this is how this young woman first came to realize that she had an issue. And she said after she had this particular conversation, you know, with the person working on the set, she said everything just made sense to her. It made sense, and she was able to replay, you know, the early years of adulthood, and she was able to make that connection. And Zariah, I really like how you brought up the fact, you know, about that football player being diagnosed at the age of 33. You see, this is why we can't forget about this post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear it associated a lot with military veterans and people who have been involved in war. And, you know, police officers, firefighters, you know, public servicemen. Let's not forget about that, because people who have this post-traumatic stress disorder, they have been exposed to a traumatic incident. And of course, when you look up the definition of that disorder, these are symptoms that come to manifest a few years later. So something may have happened to you when you were a child. You may have experienced an accident. You know, you may have gone through some type of abuse. And as far as, you know, blacks and Hispanics are concerned, you know, according to statistics, and I know most of us can agree just from our personal lives, they say the overexposure to violence and to death, that brings on post-traumatic stress disorder as well. So, you know, it's all about that awareness, you know, not giving up, not turning a blind eye. And I just love how, you know, EC and Zariah, how y'all brought up that check. I mean, that's what's real. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, I know a couple people who have allowed their children to be ushered into the system. And I have watched children from infancy who are now adults deal with this label. And the thing about the system is the fact that everything is so systematic, meaning A, B, C, and D. You know, you go for your evaluation, you get your diagnosis, you get your check, everybody is happy because a little bit of money's coming in. But nobody actually focuses on the family rehabilitation. No one's bringing the family in for counseling. Nobody's trying to see, you know, how can we, help this child? How can we support you as their mother, their father, their aunt, their friends? How can we foster a healthy environment? Because mental illness just transpires to your physical health as well.
That's so true. That's so true. And that puts us into another aspect of it. Both of you said some really powerful things. But I love that word, rehabilitation, because I think, and especially when you talk about PTSD and how, you know, maybe an overexposure to violence, and just going back to what we were talking about as being human beings in this world, you know, we live in a world that we have already talked about as having just a lot of negative energy and a lot of overexposure of violence and all of these things. And I truly believe that every individual, just as humans in this world, have aspects of trauma at some point in some kind of way. And so when you talk about the rehabilitation, even when we are awakening our people and talking about the curses of that that Yah the Creator said that the children of Israel would endure, the so-called African American and Hispanics and things of this nature. Even in that, there has to be, we can't forget about the rehabilitation aspect of it as far as the mind is concerned, because that's just real, you know. The mental aspect of it and the healing of the mind and getting back to, you know, being more, talking more about love and how you talked about, you left off, Salaya, about how it can, the mental can trickle down to the physical. Absolutely. You know, I mean, we can just look at the, you know, just the obesity rates and diabetes and just all of these things, you know, just the mental or the spiritual, it has an effect on the physical. And it reminded me about this article I was reading, I think it was in Ebony, about this this woman who, she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and borderline personality disorder, actually, since she was 13. And she has struggled with it. And the interesting thing about it is that she was academically gifted and graduated high school and college early, so she wasn't someone who was outwardly struggling. It was an eternal struggle. It was a social struggle. It was an emotional struggle. And that's something, too, just like when we had the show, when we talked about just the children growing up, and we gave our testimonies, and I think, Salaya, you talked about how the households that look to have it all together, that's where most of the abuse takes place. So that kind of was like she was struggling internally, so that, like I said, graduated high school and college early. So on the outside, there's a lot of people struggling internally that you don't see, because outwardly they have everything that society says should make up an outstanding citizen. But getting back into the physical aspect of it, she was being seen for treatment and started taking medications and stuff like that. But then she got more into eating differently and exercising and working on self-love and incorporating more of that self-love into her life, and occupational therapy techniques and activities and daily living. And this helped her to be in recovery, but not only in recovery, to where she don't need her medication or she don't need that stuff in order for her to basically rebuke those demons. I mean, you can say rebuke, but see, again, like I said, people gotta have actionable, practical steps that they can take to help as well. Yes. And so as we wrap up tonight's show and we're talking about schizophrenia, let's talk about some, let's throw some things out there that people who may be struggling with these things can actually try to take steps to just recuperate. I mean, before the show, I watched this clip that CNN did, and Anderson Cooper was doing an experiment to where it was a simulation of schizophrenia. And so basically he had these headphones on, and he had to try to work through certain things as just these different voices were talking to him. And I'm telling you, just watching it was an experience. It was difficult to do, and you can tell that he wasn't acting, because, you know, and especially on the news and stuff like that, there are some things that they, you know, they be acting, basically, they actors. But you can tell that it was really bothering him. You know, they was asking him questions, and certain questions he couldn't answer, and they was having him to make a paper plane. He couldn't make it, and it was difficult to operate normally when you have these voices in your head. And it gave you not just a look, but a sympathetic look into the life of someone who has this condition. So as we close out or prepare to close out, what are some things, because we know it depends on what illness it is, and we know that, you know, prayer and fasting and belief and all of these things is the foundation. That's the foundation, right? So what are some other things in addition to this that people can take steps to do, like in their everyday life, like actionable type things that we can throw out there before we leave tonight? Because I am sure we have some people listening, not only who struggle with mental illnesses, but also who have children or family members who struggle with this. So maybe they want to help them, you know. So what final advice can we give?
One of the things, you know, I'm going to say this, and you know, this is so fitting for this topic. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, you know, and I just sit here and I'm thinking, can I imagine just losing my mind, you know? And it takes compassion because, you know, you never know what these people are going through to be what we would consider normal, you know, most of their life, and then they just wake up and just not recognize anything. You know, we have to be attentive. We have to show compassion, you know, and I pray to y'all constantly for the mental well-being of myself as well as my family, you know, because I experienced an episode a while back myself where I was writing a song and I'm in my notepad, and I'm looking for the song, and briefly for about, I don't know, I'll say a couple seconds, I was looking at the lyrics but couldn't even recognize it. It was so scary. It was like a brief moment. I was like,
right.
Yeah, it was the scariest thing to me to actually imagine losing my mind. You know, losing my mind. You know, we have to look for the signs. We have to look for the signs because you never know when your mind has just had enough and it's just an overload. You know, we have to look for the signs. And we also have to be aware of ourselves, if that makes sense, to kind of recognize when we're doing things out of the norm, you know, and not be ashamed and get rid of that stigma, you know, that if you're having an issue mentally that you're automatically crazy and nobody's going to understand, because this stuff is out here and a lot of people suffer with it. You know, you're not alone. You're not alone.
Definitely. That was some great encouragement and great advice that you gave, Zariah. Very, very useful. And going back to that article, EC, I believe I read that same article. It was actually two black women. Did it feature two black women who were going through that in Ebony, EC?
It may have. I think so. I think it was a couple of them that they were talking about.
Yeah, it was a couple. But yeah, so I'm just going to pull from that article. And basically, the young black woman was just saying, you know, she started to focus on that self-love. Always try to eat healthy. Definitely fresh fruits and vegetables, because we know that, you know, these fresh fruits and vegetables, they hold a lot of, you know, nutritional value. And, you know, we have to understand that our physical health and what we put into our bodies and how we maintain our bodies, you know, through that physical exercise, just taking a walk, a bike ride, eating your favorite fruit, your favorite vegetable, all of this helps maintain the health of your body. Everything is biological, and we know that, you know, our brain sits at the top of our body for a reason. You know, it's there for a reason, because truly what's happening in your head can truly govern everything else that's going to go on in your body. So, you know, make the effort to eat healthy, to stay active as you possibly can, and, you know, foster these relationships that you're going to be able to communicate freely. That's not to say put your business all up and through the streets, but if it's one, two, or three people that you can communicate openly with, take advantage maintaining that healthy body and mind.
Absolutely, and that was beautiful. And we are a little bit in the archives a little bit, but those of you on the phone line should still be able to hear us. But I just want to piggyback on what both the ladies said here. I want to reiterate. I want to copy off of them, basically. And you said a lot, Celia, and I definitely hope it's not falling on deaf ears. Listen, don't underestimate taking care of your body and taking care of your mind. Like the two really is connected. You know, I was just, I mean, myself, I recently started back going to the fitness center, and I'm telling you, it clears your mind. You know, when you focus on your physical and the things that you're eating, it really does help clear your mind. Because here's the thing, we don't pay enough attention to our mind. And what I mean is exercising our minds and mental clarity. And so these are the things that you can do to help to stimulate your brain. Eating healthier, exercising, reading. Reading is a wonderful way to reestablish that peace and tranquility into your daily life. And, of course, prayer and all of these things. So we have to start incorporating this more into our day. One of you said overload. Don't think that you can't be overloaded. Don't think that what Zariah's testimony, it can happen to anybody. None of us are susceptible. You know, none of us are immune to fall and prey to one of these spirits. It can happen to any of us. And just like your computer shuts down when it's overloaded, your brain and your body will shut down. If you don't take care of it, it'll do it for you. You know, so let's start paying attention, closer attention to our mental health and our stimulating our brains. You know, eating healthier, exercising, reading, and just getting into that place of calmness, like thinking. You know, stimulate your brain by thinking. You know, it may sound funny, but sit alone somewhere for some minutes and just reflect and just be calm. Be the calm, centered version of yourself, because that's the person who's the most productive person. That's the person who can think more clearly. So that's what we have for you tonight, ladies. Shalom and Yah bless you. And don't forget to check us out next week. We will be back if that's Yah's will. And we are going to take it out. We are going to take it out. This is Daughters of Zion. We played this last week. We're going to go ahead and bump this tune again by, I call it a Kofi CC or Sister CC. But, you know, Sister CC, Daughters of Zion, Kofi Shalaya. Yeah.
Your judgment. He has faced your enemy, the sovereign of Israel. Yah is in your midst. No longer need you fear his evil. Daughters of Zion. Daughters of Zion. Daughters of Zion. Awake and take your place. You can't be worrying about this and that. That's the strength and splendor. Should be your garment. We claim Proverbs 31, say we be capable, right? But when it all boils down, what's your behavior be like? Can't be like how I just resisted. How she planned, Rahab saved the whole house. Was a blessing to her fam. Let's accept it. You the weaker vessel. Submit like Ruth. Be blameless, capable, compassionate. Walk 3 steps behind. Made the spot for a queen. Standing guard for the things that his mind can't see. Never wear his clothes. That's his authority. Wicked Babylon got us forgetting our priorities. Set a number on our mind, but now's the time. Let's lose that mind and let's rewind back to when we loved and humbly served our men. Help those in need and not oppress our children. Let's rewind, daughter of Zion. Awake and take your place. Surrender to your daughter. Watch lessons flow abundantly. Daughter of Zion, Yah hears your cry. Just fall in line. We were placed with care to serve with stability. Woman of strength, built with great capacity. We can't be whoring, physical, spiritual, be content. Know your place before the nails are moved from the tent. True vision of perfection that represents obedience, meekness, humble submission, ready for you. Always at his discretion, fulfill his purpose, do his desires, be a blessing. The yes, yes, woman strong, no weak link, no reservation. salvation at all when it comes to her king. Never says no unless it's transgressing the law. Now that he don't do, but praise to Yah, he'll see you through. What Father you know won't answer the cries of his daughter. Humble yourself, submit to Yah, repent, give up your life. It belongs to the Father. Daughters of Zion, arise and take your place. Submit unto your daughters. Watch the blessings flow abundantly. O daughters of Zion.
Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua is the women's ministry of Israelite Heritage, brought to you by the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, hosted through blogtalkradio.com.